Bodies in motion, art, skill, spectacle, entertainment, all of these things go into what many call the greatest show on earth, the circus. We have always had a robust local circus scene, but lately it's spilling outside of the tent and performers like Circus Faith, a self-described one-person circus, are using high-flying and highly imaginative talents to build community. Today, the greatest show on earth joins the greatest show on earth. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson. And like always, we have an incredibly special guest with us today. You know what? Before I introduce what we're going to be talking about, I just want to introduce your name. We have the one and the only Circus Faith. Thank you for joining us, Faith.
I'm happy to be here. This is really cool.
So, Faith, I think I have the greatest job on planet Earth. I get to highlight all different forms of art and the practitioners of that art. The episode and the conversation that we're going to have today is a first for me, and it's going to be a first for a lot of people at home. We're going to be talking about somebody that has decorated and consumed their life with the circus and all the different types of performances that can tentacle out of that. So thank you for having us, and thank you for doing the work that you do in this community.
I love it. It makes me so happy.
So when you describe yourself, you kind of describe yourself as a one-person circus, which suggests that within that discipline, you have several types of things that you do. What all do you do?
Yeah, that's a great observation. So I do my own rigging. I have to do choreography, costume, everything that goes into a performance where if anybody's kind of worked in production, there's normally people that sort of highlight certain positions. So when you kind of take all that on, you're kind of like wearing a lot of hats.
So that's a perfect segue. A lot of people in this community have seen your work. You are just our aerial royalty, right? You're always swinging about doing something cool in different places, too, which is what I love. Sometimes you're at a music show, or sometimes you're at the circus, or sometimes you're doing it yourself. Sometimes it's just for community. You brought up an interesting point. You said choreography. Mm. Are your routines choreographed, or do you kind of leave yourself available to your own imagination and kind of freestyle up there?
That's a great question. So I kind of look at performing, there's two avenues to kind of go. There's like a choreographed performance where it's like, for example, everybody's watching you, you're doing your thing for 4 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes.
Sure.
And then there's things like atmosphere. Things like atmosphere are less choreographed, more freestyle. I appreciate both of them. I do love atmosphere. It allows me to kind of be in the space and be not only like an entertainer myself, but also a participant. And then also there's so much joy in being like the center of attention type situation where I've created something and this is everybody's watching me. But it does make me very happy to just kind of be there and doing something cool for somebody to watch, but then also to be having fun and maybe dancing themselves too.
Sure. Some time ago, Halloween, which is one
yes,
of our great
that's
festivals.
That's a goal
here.
For me,
oh,
for sure.
It? Oh, I love that. So that's even, so sometimes I give a perfect segue too to myself. So we'll talk about that as well. But one of the headliners at Halloween this year, Afrobeta, which are just, you know, synonymous with Miami. Mm. I was talking to Kusi, who's one half of the lead, and she said something very interesting. She said that when I put on a show, it's always in the back of my head that if I were in this audience, I would also want to enjoy it. You kind of said the same thing. And so a lot of your routine is not just technical. It's also blessing through ambiance the people that are watching you because you could very well be one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Talk to me about that a little bit. What goes into considering your audience when you're doing something that some people would consider a fringe art?
Yeah. So it's been a journey. I started working with a coach to help my performance because there's just a lot that goes into it and a lot that goes into a longevity as a performer. Mm-hmm. And just creating a fully fledged out version of yourself, where it's like part of this journey for me is tapping into those movements specifically, and like styles too, that I've always thought were interesting, that I've always been drawn to. It's like taking inspiration to, like, for example, things like belly dance. It's like my body doesn't naturally want to do that. So how can I take inspiration and use that? And ultimately, to circle back to the question, it's how do you want the audience to feel? Mm-hmm. So that's something that comes up a lot of like, well, what are you trying to essentially prove to yourself and share with the audience? And a lot of that is just like, just that excitement for it, something I love to do and I love to share. And so it's really just considering what do I want to make someone feel from this?
Sure. You brought up longevity.
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of different artistic disciplines, whether it's writing, whether it's painting, a lot of what the artist does is to kind of escape death, to mm-hmm. live forever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something that outlives all of us. Your performances are a little different because they're about the here and the now. Talk about being present in your art and how, you know, tuning out the crowd or, you know, because you're up there all alone and you're so high and it's scary too. I mean, another question that I have for you is, how do you get over the fear? Mm. But talk about being present, because what you do, you know, if somebody's not watching it in real time, they may never see it again. And so what is the importance of being present in your art form?
I may give you an answer that you may not expect, because mm-hmm. it's actually very difficult. I think a lot of my journey, especially with Ariel, where it's like, oh, I found this thing that I love to do, that I want to do and perform. There was like before Ariel, because I found Ariel when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. There was like this thing that I was missing, and I knew I needed to be on a stage. I knew that it was something with performance, because I was a dancer as a child. But like I would say, through social media and through just our easy access of videoing and everything, and scrutinizing and displaying, needing that external validation, yeah. It's actually kind of hard to be present in performing. And even when I'm on the stage, it's like oftentimes, and this I experienced when I was a dancer too as a child, it's like, I often don't get off the stage and feel like, oh my God, I killed that. Like, mm-hmm. that was great. It's normally like, okay, like I did it, it's done. And then if I get a good video or I get a picture out of it, like then it's fine, it's all worth it. So that's also just a personal struggle that I have, where it's like, with this journey as I go, I want to like figure out who I am. Like, I want to be comfortable. I want to walk out. And that also comes with when you talk about choreographing versus like atmosphere, where it's like, if I can develop some really good routines, you don't see like big name performers just creating new routines every single time they perform. Typically, it's like you're going to watch somebody to do this thing that they've been working on for the past 6 months sure. to a year. And that's where I think I thrive, and that's where my start with all this was with the FSU circus. And that's where it's like, you know, you spend those 2 semesters of school working for this, like, one season of shows. And that was always just, you know, you walk out. I mean, I would still get down and be like, oh, I messed everything up. Like, that wasn't good. And then you watch the video and you're like, oh, wait, no, that looks great. So, yeah, it's tough to be present. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned that you were a dancer mm-hmm. Before the...
Oh, this will be funny.
Yeah. What skill set? Because I'm always interested in how other disciplines of art
yes.
help inform a person's current discipline. And so for you, whether it's fashion or music or dance, how have these things helped you do what you do?
Yeah. So I was an Irish dancer for 7 years, and from 10 to about 16 or so, 17. Uh-huh. I competed with that. I was very grateful for it. Competition was rough. I definitely don't love, like, I liked it because it was very motivating and I learned a lot. So basically, a lot of the skills I gained from that is just, you know, body awareness. I gained sure. a lot of body awareness. It's a very niche athleticism too. So it's like the legs and ankle strength and everything. I gained through that, like, a very good toe point. I'm fortunate that both my parents are like very athletic builds. They didn't really take the route of athletics, but, you know, through them, it's like, you know, my mom is super flexible and there's movements I can do now that I would definitely attribute to like genetics a little bit, where sure. sometimes that does come into play, where it's like, you know, my foot can bend this way because, you know, both my parents have this type of toe point too. Mm-hmm. And there are cons to that, especially with a toe point. Like, like you can have weaker ankles. You need to work on the flexation. So that's kind of where that informs. But the next thing I did after that was notable, I played a sport called underwater rugby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know what that is?
I do.
You know I absolutely underwater do. Rugby is because it's not water polo.
I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely snorkel. As a matter of fact, we have a club here that meets at Truesdale every week.
How funny. Of underwater rugby?
Absolutely.
Because I was
an art and culture guy. I got to know everything.
What oh, my goodness. Okay, because that was niche. And the guy who started it with us, he passed away a few summers ago now. But that's where, because I always loved like a little bit of a contact sport.
Uh-huh.
I love to like, you know, be a little violent. So circus, oddly enough, is kind of a great combination of those because it's like not easy on the body. You're kind of, you have to, it's painful at times.
Sure.
But then it also is art and dance. So I think that kind of having those two influences of art and culture and then like wanting to be badass,
mm-hmm.
Really played well for finding circus so enjoyable.
I love that collaboration, whether it's between people or between two different forms. It's not just a, you know, hallmark of community. It's also a hallmark of art. So I love that you're able to blend your art forms. But now, as a segue to that, let's mm-hmm. talk about the thing that has probably made you just one of this area's most prized possessions. And it's the work that you do in the community. You have been able to extend your skill set far beyond the tent and far beyond the rings. And we see you wherever there are people doing your thing. And that's why conversations like this are so important. So let's talk about how you've transcended your art form into something that you can bring to people.
Oh, this is sweet. I actually expressed this yesterday where it's like, I love being the center of attention, but I hate to like, but then again, I don't like it because it's like, no, guys, don't let everybody look at me.
Sure.
But I have recently too, I had celebrated a birthday, and it's always a nice time to have everybody that's important and that finds you special and important kind of come and rally and express that joy and celebration. And it's just like, there's a lot of people that I've connected, that I've like brought into certain communities. And it's just, I think a lot of that stems from, it's just like, you know, everybody has a spot at the table mm. and like, please, like, just scream it from the rooftops that you're invited, and that everybody can achieve their goals, whatever they are. And it's like, you'll find that, like, you know, some things aren't your thing, but maybe through that, you'll find what is your thing. So a lot of it has to do too with breaking out of the chains of exclusivity, mm. where it's like sometimes, yeah, in an art community, especially monetarily, it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want someone to be doing the same thing that you do, because what if that takes away opportunities from you?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but how wonderful it is that this person is finding what they love as well. And that's like an internal battle of that threatening feeling, but then also like, they're not a threat to you.
Sure.
And also, on another side of that, just meshing people together is so fun. We're having different people from different areas of your life just have fun at different events. And I love promoting people anytime I see something. It's just, and it also helps you get more opportunities for yourself. It's like, you know, I don't do these things to necessarily achieve certain situations, like, you know, sitting here today, but it's like how everything has led me here now.
You brought up a very interesting word. Well, exclusivity is my favorite. Well, I have three favorite words on this show: art, culture, and
art
community.
Culture.
But the fourth and a theme of this programming is exclusivity, because I've always believed that one of the silos that artists can put themselves in is becoming too exclusive. And once you're too exclusive, you're no longer accessible. And once you're no longer accessible, your art doesn't serve what it should serve. But that's just me on my soapbox. You brought up that word, which I think is cool, but I think it's cool for a different reason. You are in an art form that is almost exclusive to entertainment.
Mm.
How do you marry, you know, building community and entertaining people? Because what you do is, and I guess it could be therapy. I'm not trying to take away from it. I guess it could be a whole lot of things. But at its core, it's entertainment.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marrying exclusivity and entertainment. So that's actually kind of a little bit of an oxymoron, in my opinion, because sometimes, you know, you'll do, especially with me finding my footing and wanting to do everything as a performer, as an entertainer, it's like actors. It's like you'll take anything. And you kind of do have to kind of have a moment in your career where you shift out of that, where now I'm kind of entering a little bit more of an exclusive experience because I need to prioritize different avenues of my life, working, having managing a full-time job with health benefits, and getting paid for what you're worth as a performer, because there's a lot of events and atmospheres that would love a performer, but it's like at the end of the day, it is like a luxury item where it's not going to be affordable for everybody. And that's where it's kind of tough, where I want to be able to do everything, but it is something that's not easy on the body. Mm-hmm. So I have to be careful of, like, you know, what am I doing? How am I doing it? Is this something that I can just kind of do?
This is a two-part question.
Yeah.
The first one is, do you consider what you do art? And I hope you do. And the second question is, what do you consider art?
Oh, I definitely consider what I do art. I used to paint. I've always had a creative outlet. And it's so funny because it's like, you know, ever since I found circus, I really haven't painted because I'm doing art. My art is different. And then what do I consider art? Everything.
Everything. Oh, art is everything, and art is everything. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. I love it. So, Faye, in closing, first of all, I would like to say, thank you so much for joining us.
I hope I didn't say anything stupid.
No, I don't think you did. I think that you enlightened us, right? You could start your own religion. You had enlightened us.
I'm kidding.
I would like to say thank you for joining us. And usually when people say that the circus is coming into town, they mean it deleterious or pejorative. With you, it is nothing but a compliment. We appreciate you for what you do for this community. And we appreciate you all for joining us again for another episode of The Warehouse. Yeah. See you next time. Bye-bye.